December 31st, 2023. This one is called Yinward. Greetings, everybody. Last day of the month, last day of the year. That year is 2023. And for today, I want to end this year on a high note, talking about something that I think is one of the constitutions of modernity, of the modern world, especially since Oyed AI and all of these things we've had really kind of quicken the pace of the kind of synthetic culture, this very intense youngizing thing that we call society that's been going on for quite a little while, quite some time. So, yinward, going yin. We're in the yinnest time of the year, that is the winter. It is the season of the crone. There's nothing more yin and more still than looking outside and seeing the trees that have no leaves, feeling the cool, sometimes even colder air on one's cheeks whilst one walks, not hearing any of the sounds of landscaping, which for some reason is still going on in my area. It's absolutely mind-boggling. There's really nothing to landscape, yet I keep on hearing these buzzers and leaf blowers all the time, but soon we'll be in this very still yin time. So I wanted to talk about the constitutional type from a traditional Chinese perspective called yin deficiency, known most likely more familiar with people from a Western or allopathic perspective as adrenal burnout. Maybe we've heard this word kind of surfing around the internet, people dealing with burnout, even people who were Zoomer or millennial talking about burnout, because we live in this such fast-paced, youngizing world. And like I've said many times on the broadcast, there's a difference between the young that we want and the young that doesn't serve us. Like, the young that we want is doing something like weight-bearing exercises. That's good young. Not good young is aimlessly scrolling our mobile device. So things like that. Like, good yin would be relaxing and resting in stillness, taking a walk. Not so good yin would be downing a glass of ice water, especially in the yin time of year, like the winter. So there are many types of yin deficiency. In TCM, we usually talk about how it works through different meridians and different channels and how it could affect one organ more than the other. I think the type of yin deficiency in TCM that is most analogous to the Western allopathic phenomenon known as adrenal burnout would be kidney yin deficiency. And the kidneys in TCM are the doorway to life. We've talked about this before, how we get this primordial energy, jing, or essence, what they would call prakriti or ojas in the Ayurvedic traditional medicines, that we get from our parents. And then we have basically the kidney energy that we cultivate through our day-to-day life and diet. And the kidneys, of course, are right below the adrenals, and they kind of work together in many ways, whether it's harmony or disharmony. So I'm doing this show today not just to share some information that could be helpful to you, the listener, but also to say that I'm taking a little break from all this type of stuff. Going to be my last show for a little bit, not forever, of course. The same thing is going to be going on with the Talmud Gram. I already put a note out on there a couple of days ago that I'm going to be closing the chat just for a little bit, just to kind of not deal with the overwhelming aspect that is anti-social media. Anti-social media is very, very young, not in a good way, especially for women who always want to maintain more of this yin essence. And it's nice to be able to have the opportunity to pull back from media, to pull back from the computer. I've also decided to pull back on some of the other communities that I partake with online, deleting subscriptions on YouTube. I've also done that with, like, even my social media, so that I do have, like, getting rid of certain accounts I was following, removing them from my mobile device, unsubscribing from certain things in my email, spending less time taking in information. We live in a world where we're told that we need facts or masculine confirmation. This isn't a jab at men when I say that. It's just that confirmation of things is masculine and intuition is feminine. So we live in a world where we're always looking for proof, especially a lot of these like Libshit or Zogbots are always looking for proof of everything, always want to see a study. And oftentimes we get the best answers to our questions when we take in less information, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but try it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And during this time off, or in general, with the new year of 2024, I still have my plan to launch my elite lifestyle community. I was calling it a wellness community at first, but I think lifestyle community makes much more sense because it's not just about nutrition and wellness. That's a big part of it, certainly, but it's really a lifestyle. And I think that that's what many of us who are on the seek or on the prowl for something different are really looking for. We're not just looking for wellness and nutrition. We're looking for a lifestyle that exists within a community. So that's something I will be working on, and also going to be working on a cookbook. I've had many people throughout my life who have known me from all different walks of life, people who have known me in this milieu, people who have known me in different milieus. I've been 1,000 people so far in this life. I think a lot of us have, and that's kind of cool how we can evolve and be different people at different stages in our lives. But I've been requested time and time again to create a cookbook. So I finally got some software. I got it as a Yule gift, and I will be working on crafting a cookbook. It's not going to be any specific type of diet or anything like that. It's just going to be good, wholesome recipes. And I will probably do something where I will write in the paragraph. I always love when I'm reading a cookbook and they give you a story with the recipe. I like to know like the what and the why and the where and the how behind a recipe. I find that really fascinating, and it nurtures and nourishes me when I eat the recipe or share it with other people. So I'll probably do something where I mention the yin and the yang qualities and who this is better for and what season it's for. All those really important things. And I will still be working with clients during this time. If anyone was wondering about that, if you are a pre-existing client or you're a new client, I will still be working and taking clients. So if you want to do that, you can always go to my website, or you could email me personally at truthisrising@protonmail.com. So let's talk about this kidney yin deficiency, or yin deficiency in general, and adrenal burnout. And they really don't have, when I'm talking about the Western medicine, I guess I really shouldn't have said allopathic. Well, I guess that is appropriate now thinking about it, because functional medicine, what I've referred to many times in the past as Zog light, and it is Zog light in many ways, albeit oftentimes you can get a bit further with the functional medicine than you can with the allopathy. They believe in the diagnostic term of adrenal burnout or adrenal fatigue. I like the adrenal burnout better, because what happens during this process is first someone is completely up, or they're running super high on adrenaline. And of course, buy now, pay later, what comes up must come down. That cannot last forever. And then they flatline and they burn out. And that is technically, like I said prior, what is analogous in the TCM modality as yin deficiency. But even in just regular straight up allopathy, they do not acknowledge this. So there really is no word for this in the, basically full throttle modern day allopathic lexicon. There is a little bit in the functional Zog light with the adrenal fatigue. And there is, of course, in TCM. So if we go back, we know TCM is thousands of years old, so we know that this condition has been something that has existed before. Just in this modern world, the world is so fast-paced, it's so zoggy, we're so overscheduled, even with youngsters having themselves completely overscheduled, it would make perfect sense why people younger and younger would be dealing with yin deficiency or adrenal burnout. And like we've said before in the broadcast, we get our yin energy from our jing, which is our essence, which comes from our kidneys. And it's said in TCM that when we burn out all of our jing, which essentially would be burning out all of our yin, that is when we die. So we're looking at it from more of an energetic perspective than we're just seeing it, you know, from the allopathic perspective. I mean, sometimes they look at it through that way if they're talking about cellular respiration and mitochondria, but I find this TCM modality the most interesting, the most mystical, and the most digestible. And I know sometimes it could be a bit baffling, especially for people who didn't grow up. It almost seems like it's a foreign language. But allow me to kind of bridge the gap between the functional and the mystical. So you may be asking yourself, what are some signs of adrenal burnout or yin deficiency? The main sign would be feeling overwhelmed or stressed all the time, which is a common phenomenon for a lot of people these days. Difficulty concentrating or focusing, unexplained aches and pains in the body, cravings for sweets and salty foods, feeling lightheaded or dizzy, feeling wired but tired. That's the feeling when the daytime drags on and you feel just like kind of just blah, and then you get the second or third wind in the evening time. Having achy joints that come with fatigue. Never waking up feeling well rested. Low energy. Addictions to coffee and sugar. Stubborn weight gain, especially in the belly area. Loss of self-confidence and zest for life. Low sex drive and brain fog. So when we don't have the kidney energy, because our yin essence, thus our jing, has been drained, we are going to feel adrenally burnt out. Makes total sense, right? So this basically happens because we have a malfunction with cortisol, which is a stress hormone. It's a cortisol imbalance. And in order to treat this, one has to include lifestyle changes and stress management techniques, as well as nutrition. Of course, nutrition is really important. So the official scientific term for what we're talking about is hypothalamic pituitary adrenal dysfunction, HPA, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal. This is a complex system in the body that regulates stress in the body. Functioning properly, it helps the body respond to stressors and then return to a state of equilibrium. So this is why we need this system. But dysfunction from long-term stress can relate in a dysregulation of the stress hormone cortisol, and this is what yin deficiency or adrenal burnout is. Cortisol is a stimulating, alerting hormone produced in the adrenal glands. It's responsible for regulating the body's fight or flight response under stress. So cortisol contributes to many things that we need physiologically in the body. That would be reducing inflammation, energy regulation, circadian rhythm, supporting our blood sugar levels, a healthy cardiovascular system, and finally controlling blood pressure. So everything in context. The problem, of course, is when these things are out of whack, when the estrogen is high, when the cortisol is high, when the adrenaline is high, then we have things like low progesterone and low testosterone. So we have the stress hormones going high, which of course we need in context, and then our sex hormones go low. So there's three stages of this burnout and how it happens. So first we have the regular pattern of cortisol. We wake up, we have our energy in the morning, which is totally normal. Then by midday, it dissipates. And then by evening, we get tired and we go to sleep. That's normal. Then we have the first stage of the dysregulation. The first stage of the dysregulation is that we wake up and we have energy, and then we just run high the entire day. So we cannot get to sleep. Even when midday and evening comes, we're just running hardcore on stress hormones. Oftentimes in this phase, people will be using depressive drugs like alcohol and marijuana, and even some very heavy depressive foods to be able to get to sleep. So that's the high cortisol phase. Pardon me. Then we have the low and high cortisol phase, where you wake up in the morning and you have absolutely zero energy. You feel totally flat. You feel terrible. And this is typically when the addiction for caffeinated beverages, specifically coffee, is the most familiar one, at least here in the West, and sugar take place. People wake up and they need those things to wake up. They cannot wake up normally. And then what happens once the day comes midday, they start to gain energy. And once it becomes evening time, they're totally wired and now they're in a reverse cortisol pattern. And then finally, we have the low cortisol pattern where the person is completely and totally flatlined and they're tired all the time and they feel just like almost they cannot even get out of bed, no matter how much they sleep. They just feel not well rested at all. They might even get what Western medicine would call an autoimmune disease. They may be more susceptible to things like influenza or any type of sickness because they are just so crashed. They all sometimes will have achy joints and allergy symptoms because the body is just flatlined. So that's the pattern. Now, what's really helpful when you're trying to quell yin deficiency or adrenal fatigue is getting a healthy circadian rhythm pattern. This is beyond healthy. And this is where a lot of the stuff from the quantum field of wellness comes in. There's a lot of great information on the YouTube and other anti-social medias talking about how this really works and just how important it is to keep this schedule where you wake up with the sun and then you kind of pare down when the sun goes down and you use lower light in the evening time. And I like a lot of what people in that milieu have to say, albeit they still believe in out of Africa, which is unfortunate, but you know, not every enclave or clique is going to have it all. So we take what we need and we leave the rest. So cortisol will help control your circadian rhythm. Our circadian rhythm is the 24-hour biological clock determined by the rise and fall of the sun. Our circadian rhythms play an important role in regulating the sleep-wake cycle, hormone release, and metabolism. So anyone who has a hormonal problem or a metabolic problem, it would really behoove them to get on a healthy circadian rhythm schedule. It helps to ensure that you are active during the day and resting at night. So the last thing you want to do at night is do anything that's very young, because the nighttime, the darkness, is the yin time of day, and vice versa. So here are some ways to restore the circadian rhythm, which is really important, but especially if you're dealing with yin deficiency or adrenal fatigue. Wake up and go to sleep at the same time every day if possible. That's really important. Get natural light by going outside for at least an hour in the morning, ideally when you first wake up. Avoid artificial light and screens 2 hours before going to sleep. And when you do use screens during the day, make sure you have some type of filtering device on your screen, as well as using your blue light blocking glasses. It's good to have a daytime pair, as well as a nighttime pair of those glasses. And also, don't be frivolous with your time online. I know we have a world now where we have the opportunity to spend literally as much time as we desire online, in front of screens, but we don't have to. We always have a choice of what we want to look at. And I also think, too, that sometimes hearing something, taking it back to the old days, hearkening back to the radio time, thinking about our ancestors, many of our grandparents grew up in the radio era, it's nice to listen to something. I think that's a lot better for the senses than to just be constantly taking in words and visuals. And also, it's nice just to have quiet time too and to actually hear nothing. And finally, sleep in a very dark room. Get blackout curtains if possible. Do what you can to make your room as dark as possible. It's really important. So there are many ways to discern if you're dealing with this. Of course, testing would be one way of dealing with it. You could also go by symptoms. You could also go by what the traditional Chinese medicinal methodology would do, which would be reading the tongue and reading the pulse. And one of the older diagnostic techniques that was utilized was to palpate the abdomen, which most Chinese medical healers do not do that anymore. But you can really gain a lot by listening to your pulse, and I think even more by reading your tongue. That might be something that you want to familiarize yourself with. You can look at pictures online, but the tongue never lies. And of course, stress management is like a serious contributor, a serious issue that causes yin deficiency and burnout and adrenal issues. So you really want to find a way to manage stress. So adrenal imbalances or yin deficiency are caused by stress. The stress could be emotional, it could be mental, it can be physical, toxins and chemicals, heavy metals, all the zoggery, food sensitivities, infection, excess stimuli from computers and technology all contribute to stress levels. So reduce or eliminate the stress you have control over, or take back much needed mental space that you need. So when someone is in adrenal burnout or in yin deficiency, they are in a survival mode. So in order to heal, you have to get out of a survival mode. That is key. So there are many foods that will be helpful, and there are many do's and don'ts when it comes to nutrition that are very beneficial for healing yin deficiency or adrenal burnout. So nutrition is one of the best ways to address this. So you definitely want to avoid calorie deficits. So even if you are overweight and you have pounds to lose, you do not want to get into a calorie deficit, because when you don't take in enough calories, you're actually stressing your body, and your body is going to go into more survival mode, and it's going to be harder to lose weight. So eating enough will restore your metabolism, will restore your organ health, will restore your yin, and then you can lose weight more easily in the future. So avoid calorie deficits, avoid all the starvation stuff. I did a show recently called Friends with Food. Starvation culture is one of those things that is extremely pervasive now to both sexes. But if you're dealing with stress, you need nutrition to heal yourself, to heal your organs. You also want to avoid low carbohydrate regimes. They increase cortisol and put stress on the body. And of course, we have this ridiculous shit for brains dialectic here, where people are like, avoid all sugar, avoid all carbohydrates. And the word sugars is really just like the word lipids. It's carbohydrates. Now, yes, there are simple sugars, there are complex sugars, or simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. But we have this ridiculous dialectic of extremes, because as we know, Zog loves extremes, where people are like, I'm never going to eat any carbohydrates ever again. I'm either going to just go completely low on them, or I'm going to use all of these fake sweeteners like monk fruit and what are they? I don't even know. I'm so out of this. Stevia, erythritol, all these things that end in OL. These are all sugar alcohols. They're going to give you gut problems, hormone problems, digestive issues, loose stool, very unsexy. Or even worse, people go to, you know, just like the sucralose, the aspartame, and the saccharin, you know, equal sweet and low. And what's the other one? Splenda? That's it. Yeah. So you are, or we have people who say, I'm not going to eat, or they're not going to eat like any of the sugars, if they're going to eat that. But the dialectic is always between, you know, a big plate of white pasta, cupcakes, cookies, brownies, sodas, and then either eating no sugar or eating fake sugar, as opposed to, why don't we eat some whole fruit? Why don't we eat some root vegetables? Why don't we eat some green vegetables? Why don't we eat some well-prepared grains or beans? But no, it's always that dialectic between the two. And that's pretty much what happens. The majority of the popular diets tell you to not eat these foods at all, to live on sugar substitutes, or to only eat simple sugars. Look around at the popular diets. That's pretty much what they're doing. And of course, for some people, if you have really bad gut issues, you may feel better at first, but you're not getting to the root cause of the problem. So again, to recalibrate, or to just to reiterate, avoid calorie deficits, avoid low carbohydrate diets, avoid intermittent fasting. Again, this is not the time for starvation. Avoid inflammatory foods, also very important. The body is under stress. This would include conventional dairy products, gluten for the most part, unless it's like a really good piece of sourdough bread or something you make at home. Most of that's incredibly inflammatory and full of heavy metals, iron filings. Corn and soy. Corn, for the most part, is more of a seasonal thing to eat in the summer. And tortillas can be okay if they're made traditionally. And soy, the fermented soy, as you know, I've talked about this, the miso, the tempeh, the natto, the tamari, that should be okay. But you want to avoid the zagi soy stuff, and especially meat that is fed soy as well, something to consider. And avoid excess sugar. Blood sugar spikes put stress on the body. And of course, I'm talking about white sugar, but I'm also talking about simple sugars. You don't want to eat even too many of the honeys or the maple syrups. Those are very concentrated And if you look back traditionally in how our ancestors used that, and I know we're not living in those times anymore, but we never used like a half a cup of maple syrup per day. I mean, think about it. We collect sap from a tree and then it has to be boiled down. So that's a luxury to be able to use some of that. And it's very lovely to use that, you know, to season things throughout the day and to cook with it. But we don't need to take in like a half a cup. There are some fools on Instagroid who are putting like a half a cup of maple syrup in their coffee. And there are also people who are dipping liver in maple syrup or steak. No, a definite don't. So those are the don'ts. So what are the do's if you have yin deficiency or adrenal burnout? You want to focus on maintaining a healthy eating routine. This is super important. You want to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, plus snacks throughout the day, one or two small snacks. You want to keep a rhythm. People get into burnout or deficiency when rhythm is not kept. Also, you want to eat a protein-rich breakfast, at least 30 grams of protein, maybe even 25, depending on the person, at least within 1 hour of waking. So it's important to eat a protein-rich breakfast in the morning. And you want to do most of your eating during the younger times of the day. You want to avoid, eating the majority of your calories in the later yin part of the day, which is what a lot of us do. But you want to eat more calories during the yang or the earlier part of the day. Eat complete meals. Make sure the meals have a bit of lipid, protein, and carbohydrates. So don't eat like just one thing. Eat a little bit of everything to give yourself balance and sustenance, not just of the macronutrients, but also of the energetic properties of the food, and to balance the yin and the yang qualities of the food as well, which is maybe not a way that you've looked at food before, but you need to balance those qualities in food. So let's say we go out to a restaurant. You've noticed this, and I've said this before. Everything at a restaurant is high heat or it's raw. So it's a bunch of salads, it's ice cold drinks, which is really yin, or you have all these like foods that are roasted, deep fried, seared, grilled, really yang. So you want to have a mix of two. And if you're yin deficient, you don't want to go all raw, because all raw will actually not really heal you, because those foods are not healing in general. The Chinese methodology doesn't really believe in a lot of raw foods. A lot of them are very hard to digest, especially if someone's under stress. This is the winter. It's not really a time for eating a lot of salads, albeit a winter salad here and there of things like maybe radish or fennel or, you know, frisée or things like that, you know, can be more, celery can be more appropriate than just other things. And then if you eat too many of those raw foods, you'll create dampness. And dampness is a condition of yin excess. We've talked about this on the broadcast before. And it is possible, as mind-boggling as it may seem, to actually have yin excess from really kind of like raw foods, ice creams, cold foods, and a yin deficiency from eating too many of these roasted, deep fried, grilled, heavy foods. So it's kind of a crazy thing to kind of wrap one's head around, but we can have an excess of a bad or not so good yin and a deficiency of the good quality yin. So you want to use more balanced cookery methods. You want to think about steaming, boiling, a stir fry, braising, simmering, things like this, right? And yes, you can eat some of the more yang foods, especially during this time of year. Like for tonight, I plan to do a boiled or steamed green with a seafood that's going to be also like boiled or cooked in like a watery method. And then I'm pairing that with a roasted potato. So we have the yang cookery method of the potato, and then we have the yinner methods for the greens and the seafood. Maybe I'll even serve it with a broth to get, you know, a good amount of nutrients going on there and the energetics of yin and yang. So we see how this works. Another thing for the adrenal healing do's or yin deficiency healing do's would be to include carbohydrates in your meal. One cup should be about sufficient. You could also choose starchy root vegetations and squashes. It could be grains, it could be beans, but I'd say to stay away from some of the gluten-containing grains. They can be nutritious, but many times they are hybridized, and if someone's already dealing with stress, that is going to be an extra stress on the system. And be very mindful of including foods that are rich in magnesium, vitamin C, and B vitamins. These are very important if we want to replenish the system after dealing with stress. Okay, moving forward. Now, what are some key nutrients to help us during this time of adrenal fatigue or yin deficiency? So electrolytes. So this is really important because you can have lower energy from the brain fog and the cramping and all the deleterious effects that happen when our body's in that fight or flight, even freeze state. This will stress the adrenals, stress the kidneys, raise cortisol, raise adrenaline, raise estrogen, lower the sex/steroid hormones. So we can get high quality electrolytes from sea salt and from getting potassium from food. So potassium, super important, especially for blood sugar. Anyone who has any type of blood sugar issue, whether it be like a pre-diabetes or an insulin resistance, or even a full-blown type 1 or type 2 diabetic situation, is in dire need of potassium. Potassium is very much abundant in things like bananas, beans, coconut water. Even some green vegetables have potassium, so very important. It's a calming mineral, much like calcium is. Also important is B vitamins for the adrenal glands and the kidneys to function. When you are stressed out, you will blow through B vitamins very quickly. And I will add this too, that a lot of B vitamin supplementation will make someone feel totally cracked out and even more stressed, especially if they're synthetic. So I don't necessarily recommend those. And B vitamins from a TCM perspective can be very warming. And for someone who's typically dealing with yin deficiency, they will also have a secondary condition called empty heat, not full heat. Full heat is different. But when you have empty heat, basically what that means is the first pattern of conditional dysfunction was ki stagnation, where we get stressed and our ki just stops moving because we're so stressed and we freeze up. Then we go into heat because we have this extra energy of heat because the body can't cool off from the excess adrenaline and the excess cortisol. Then we move in to the yin deficiency. So taking B vitamins, which in TCM system is considered a warming vitamin, would be very antithetical for someone dealing with yin deficiency. So we want to get B vitamins from our foods. So one food that's actually a very good source of B vitamins is nutritional yeast. It tends to be something that is more common in like the vegetable communities, people who are doing the vegetarian and the veganism diets, but nutritional yeast is a powerhouse of B vitamins. So it's something to look into and make sure if you're going to source this, that you do not get the one that is fortified, because the yeast itself is a good source of B vitamins. So look out for a non-fortified or unfortified nutritional yeast, which will typically be a much lighter color. Now, the best way to get B vitamins from our food would be meat, seafood, and eggs. Those are some of the top forms. And what are the top plant forms for getting B vitamins? Things like legumes or beans, as well as leafy greens and avocado. So for me, I would say cover all bases. Have some beans every day, have some leafy greens. And by leafy greens, I mean cooked. I don't mean raw. I mean well-cooked leafy greens, kale, collard, broccoli, bok choy, any of the Asian things, yu choy, gai lan, any of these are very appropriate. Avocado is great too. And then, of course, have some servings of meat. By meat, I think they mainly mean red meat. But, you know, chicken and pork count too, but red meat has the most amount of B vitamins. Of course, certain types of red meat like lamb and mutton can be very, very warming. So if you already have yin deficiency, you're going to want to eat more beef and bison and elk and venison. Just be mindful about using a more yin methodology of cooking it like a soup or a stew. And of course, seafood. Seafood's a great source of B vitamins and eggs. So vitamin C, very important for the adrenals. The highest concentration of vitamin C in the body is actually in the adrenal glands. When we're stressed out, when we are going through adrenal burnout or yin deficiency, we actually will blow through more of our vitamin C. So we need to increase it by eating whole food forms. One of the easiest ways to get vitamin C is just to eat foods like fruits, like oranges, clementines, mandarins, tangerines. This time of year, those things are abundant in the market. So have a couple of those per day. I always like to get the clementines or the mandarins and have that with breakfast. Berries are also a source of vitamin C. So are kiwi, so is cabbage. Kamu kamu or arceola are types of whole food fruits that will typically, they're from the tropics, so we'll typically find them in powdered versions. They are very, very high in vitamin C. People even make these things called adrenal cocktails, which are made with citrus juice, typically orange juice, and coconut water, and then a sprinkling of salt and a little bit of lime juice. And it has potassium, it has magnesium, it has vitamin C. All of these things, like we've been talking thus far throughout the show, are really good for adrenal health. Something definitely to consider. And I'll also add here, if you're taking in too much vitamin C, especially if it's going to be these very, very intense, high grade or high amounts of vitamin C from like things like kamu kamu or arceola, keep in mind that way too much vitamin C can actually make cervical mucus scanty. So if you are wanting an abundance of cervical mucus because you're trying to conceive, or you just love having a juicy yoni, or both, make sure that you don't take in too many of these powders if you're taking them around the time when your cervical mucus is abundant. And we also need magnesium. Magnesium is really important. If you have a deficiency, it can cause things like anxiety and sleep problems. It can make it super hard to relax and make you really sluggish. So taking 200 to 400 milligrams of a high quality magnesium supplement, in addition to eating magnesium rich foods. I like magnesium glycinate. That's what I recommend for people. That's something that I would take myself. And that can very much help you. It could also help you use the toilet if you have issues with number two. Something else to consider. So some pretty good tips right there. Also make sure that you're getting an adequate amount of high quality fats in the diet. Now, of course, too many fats can make the liver sluggish, and not enough can mess with our hormones and make our skin dry. So if you have a lot of chronic inflammation from having messed up cortisol levels, you're going to need fat, because fat is really good for the nervous system. So it's always best to choose foods that are sources of fat, like eggs, meat, seafood, avocados, fish roe. There's so many different things that you can have that already have the fat, some good quality dairy. So there are many foods out there that already have the fat in it. And then, of course, we know favoring cooking with saturated and monounsaturated lipids over the polyunsaturated ones. Okay, so now I want to talk, just to kind of round this out, a little bit about some additional healing foods for yin deficiency and for adrenal burnout. So root vegetables in general are really good for the adrenals and the kidneys. Anything that grows under the ground from a TCM perspective is considered yin, because it's underground, because yin is the downward energy, yang is the upward energy. So that makes total sense. So things like sweet potatoes, I would favor the white ones because they're very high in vitamin A if they're not white. Parsnips, potatoes, rutabaga, turnips. I'm not too keen on the last two. Carrots, beets, those are probably my two favorite root vegetables. So they're very grounding, comforting foods when you feel depleted. They're also in abundance right now as well. They're also rich in vitamin C, and they're a great source of carbohydrates that will not spike your blood sugar like the refined Zog carbohydrates. Something else which is absolutely amazing for kidney yin deficiency, or yin deficiency in general, as well as adrenal health, are black foods. In culture, or in this culture, we really only have one black food, licorice, right? Which is not what I'm talking about right now. But black foods in Chinese medicine are considered extremely strengthening and extremely nourishing, especially for our jing or our essence. And they're amazing for healing the kidneys when we feel like we have depleted yin. So what would be some ideas of black foods? Black sesame seeds. I like to get the black sesame seed butter, or the tahini, essentially. I find it much easier to digest that, and it's just smoother. So you can make little things with the butter. You can spread it on a banana. That would be a very yin snack with high potassium and a lot of jing-boosting energy. I actually made these groovy little energy balls the other day called Jing Things, and I used black sesame seeds, which I pulverized, and black sesame tahini. They're really good. Blackberries, black rice, caviar. These are all seaweed. These are a little on the exotic tip for some people. Now, seaweed, of course, can be red, it can be green, and it can be black. We think of the red ones like dulse, which are native to the British Isles. You know, think of like the rich history of seaweed being used in Ireland, even though most people have a connotation that seaweed is purely an Asian food, that is incorrect. Then we have the green types, you know, the nori and the wakame, kombu. Nori, of course, is what you get when you go and you get sushi. And then we have the black seaweeds, which are pretty much the most hardcore, the least familiar for most people. Things like hiziki and arame are incredibly boosting for one's jing, one's kidney and adrenal health. And they are loaded with minerals, especially calcium, because we're always told in this culture that we have to get calcium from either green vegetables or dairy or fish broth. And those things are all good sources of calcium, sure. But how much dairy can you actually take in? Taking in too much dairy is actually, I don't think, a healthful thing. So there's other ways to get calcium into the system. Seaweed is great. So is pearl powder, which is also amazing for your yin. Even though we're talking about black foods, going to bring it to all the way to the other spectrum with white foods. Pearl powder is amazing for yin deficiency, for adrenal health. It's calming. It's high in calcium. It creates great sleep. It makes your skin beautiful. All great things. So those are some of the things that are foods, kind of like using food specifically for heightened healing. And now let's talk a little bit about some adaptogenic herbals. Now, I always favor the foods over this. And when we're talking about adaptogenic herbals, you have to make sure that these fit your constitutional profile. I, of course, don't know what your constitutional profile is. Like I said earlier, look at your tongue, take a constitutional test online. It's really interesting to know these things about yourself, and you may not get even the answer that is correct from seeing an acupuncturist. I was actually diagnosed twice incorrectly about what my constitution actually was by two acupuncturists, and I figured it out myself. So something to consider. Then, of course, there are some times when it's very difficult, depending on how we feel, to actually really be able to discern what our constitution is. And typically people, even people who are practitioners, there's always a thing where it's so much easier. I deal with this, and I know what this is like. Maybe other people who are in the wellness field understand this too. I know what it's like to look at someone and easily know what their constitution is, easily know what they could do to improve it, but I have a little bit of blindsightedness to be able to see it for myself. So it can be helpful to work with someone. Just make sure you work with someone who really knows what they're doing and isn't just someone who's practicing like allopathic TCM, because there's a lot of that going on. So here are some adaptogenic herbals for adrenal health. One of them is maca. Maca is a Peruvian adaptogen. It's a Peruvian radish. You want to get the gelatinized form, not the raw. The raw could be goitrogenic. It can suppress your thyroid. But maca can help balance hormones, improve energy, and boost fertility. Now, if you already run hot, you would probably not want to do maca because maca is a warming herb. Ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an Ayurvedic herb utilized for centuries to help the body cope with stress. It can lower cortisol. It also helps sleep quality, reduction of anxiety, and increases energy levels. Also, if you run hot, you don't want to do ashwagandha. Reishi mushrooms. Reishi have been utilized for a very long time in the TCM pharmacopoeia. They have immune modulating and calming properties. It could also help with sleep and reduce stress levels. But keep in mind, in some people, they can lower libido. And I don't know, for me, I would be more stressed out if I didn't feel horny than taking the mushroom, but that's me. Heshowu. Heshowu is a great herbal. It's been used throughout all of China for a really long time. It's a great, great herbal. It's can be used to improve energies and energy and stamina. It's also wonderful for hair growth, and it can actually possibly prevent premature graying of hair. Some people even say that it actually can bring hair back to its original color. So that's really groovy. Something else would be rhodiola. It's a shrub that's native to Siberia. It can improve energy levels and reduce stress and enhance cognition. Some people feel really weird and like cracked out when they take rhodiola, like they do with B vitamins. And also rhodiola can raise serotonin. So I would tread lightly with this one. My favorite one so far of all the five we've mentioned is Hesho-Wu. And then finally, cordyceps. Cordyceps is a type of mushroom known for its ability to improve energy levels and stamina. Super popular with athletes. Also really good for respiration. So if you're dealing with anything like lung yin deficiency and your lungs are deficient in yin energy, you might want to try cordyceps. It's more of a yang tonic. So in TCM, we never just do one tonic like we do in Western herbalism, where we call it a simple and we use one herbal thing or one herbal infusion, tincture, etc. We always mix in TCM to create a certain blend, because sometimes something that's a yin tonic might be too unctuous and too damp. So we'd mix it with something that's a little more drying and a little more yang, and cordyceps is something that is a little more yang. It's also really good for libido too. So if someone wants to feel hot and horny, cordyceps is amazing for that. And on a final note, a note on coffee and caffeine. It's important to understand that coffee has a similar effect on the body as stress. And that will be true of all caffeine, but coffee is the one that we use most here in the West. It's probably the most popular form of caffeine, I'd say, in the world. Well, yeah, I think it probably is, because it gives more of a robust boost than teas or, you know, yerba or guarana, guayusa, yacon, theobromine, you know, chocolate. So coffee increases cortisol and adrenaline, which pep you up. And of course, like I said, this is true for all caffeine, not just coffee. Normally the body can tolerate this, but if you've been under extreme stress for quite some time, it can prevent you from healing. Remember, if you want to heal, you need to eliminate all forms of stress that you have control over, and coffee and caffeine is one of them. And then I wrote something the other day on my page in regards to caffeine. I'm just going to share this here. Why to think twice about caffeine use, especially chronic habituation. And most people who use caffeine, especially the stats that I've read here in the States, it's a daily habit for most people. So if the majority of people have impaired hippocampal function, that's the hippocampus, hippocampal function due to regular caffeine use, amongst possibly other factors as well, they physically don't have the ability to put past experience into context with the present, to learn from previous error. That's pretty significant. This state promotes prolonged anxiety, especially if stress has been introduced. And who hasn't dealt with stress? Like, seriously, I mean, literally everybody has. Even tweens are dealing with stress these days, right? So you may want to think twice about caffeine use. You may want to think twice about chronic caffeine use. You may want to think about tapering down. If you're at coffee right now, you may want to taper down to tea. You may want to taper down to something beyond that. It's the most popular psychoactive drug on the planet. And I know it's kind of jarring to hear that it's a psychoactive drug, but it is. We could also call it a stimulant, we could call it a beverage, we could call it whatever we want, but that's what it is, and most people use it. So it's kind of a psychedelic experience to not use it. The more you're habituated to its utilizations, just like anything else, the rougher the detoxification process will be. From what I can understand, it's a similar detoxification process to marijuana. I'm like 2.5 weeks into like a caffeine detox. It's been fairly okay for me, actually, so far. I was never a tremendous utilizer of coffee. Tea, yes. And I will do a show once I've reached a certain point with this, so I can share more insights with other people who may want to experiment with this. But it's nice to not have that in your system. It's nice to feel more like yourself, to remember what life was like before all these things were in your body, right? And sometimes just feeling that allows us to go yinward into this stillness, which this is really a gift this time of year. A lot of people always think, oh, you know, it's so gray out, it's so bland, there's no sun, the holidays are over. It's so somber, there's nothing to do. And then people get into like this depression mode or suppression of emotions mode, and they don't really do anything, or they just they sit on their haunches on the couch, and they take in low quality media, and they deplete their yin even more so. But this time of year is a sacred gift. Use it. Don't squander it. Use it to pare back. Use it to sit in the stillness of things. And one more thing I was thinking about before I go, I was thinking about how we already live, even if you yourself list the listener, these are all good tips, whether you're dealing with yin deficiency or adrenal burnout yourself. Of course, if you're not, this is good stuff, like I just said, or it's good information to possibly pass on to another human in your life who is dealing with this. But we've been in this culture for a long, long time that it's indicative. If you walk outside the house and you look at people, we have this adrenal burnout lifestyle and attire. I mean, look, people are out and about wearing sweatpants as their attire. This is especially popular with some of the Zoomer individuals. They're wearing sweatpants as their outside the house clothing. I remember, and this is pretty much recent history, when I was in public school, we used to have this thing for school spirit week, and one of the days was called pajama day, and we would actually be allowed to wear our pajamas to school. Because back in the 90s, you didn't wear your pajamas to school. If you were wearing your pajamas, you were home from school because you were ill, or you were pretending to be ill, or whatever it may be. But now, people, their regular attire is pajamas, and this is part of this adrenal burnout culture, this yin deficiency culture, this screen culture, this Oyid culture. I think a lot of this actually happened with Oyid AI. People were being hearkened as heroes for basically loafing on the sofa, wearing, you know, their pajamas, right? And then Oyid AI was over, or is it over? I don't know. I still see people in the costume all the time. To me, it was always over before it even began. But this adrenal burnout culture is rippling, is what I'm saying. You know, you throw a stone into the ocean, you see the ripples come out, you know, move outward as opposed to yinward. And that's what's really happening these days with all of this. So on a high note to leave this broadcast, think about when you go outside the house to cultivate poise and elegance, and don't look like you just fell off a truck. It's good for yourself to look good, but it's also nice for other people to get data about their environment and say, ah, someone actually cares about what they look like. You know, that person looks good. And I'm sure if you're out and about, you notice, regardless of what the person's age, race, or sex is, you notice when someone has polish. You notice when someone has elegance, as opposed to looking like they just left a mental institute. So I'll leave you with that. Take this amazing still time of January to go yinward, heal your kidneys, heal your adrenals, and I'll see everyone on the other side. Happy New Year. Wishing everyone well. Have an amazing month of January. Have an amazing evening tonight, whatever you're doing in this this big white world. And until we meet again. Okay, everybody, much love and Sat Nam.